You clock out, we clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Brett Borg from UteZone.com. How are you doing today, Brett?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing well. I mean, it's hard to get back to work after a lovely Thanksgiving Day weekend for me.
For sure. Understood.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. I mean, the Utes have played a few games, had some good ones, had one bad one. But what do you think of this team so far this season?
Well, it's definitely they're definitely still trying to figure out what this version of the running Utes is going to look like. It's very different from last year. I think the first thing that really stands out is how fast they move. And that, you know, with the absence of DeLon Wright, who kind of slowed things down, was very methodical, and sometimes that was a detriment to the team. Other times his composure was what kept the team going. And this year you're just seeing opposite. Sometimes the speed has been really good for this team to get out running and be more athletic. And it's also at the same time has forced a lot of unnecessary mistakes. So I think the first thing that just stands out to me is how quick, how fast they move. But there's a lot of changes, a lot of personnel changes that they're going to have to deal with and figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one most people seem to be concerned about is how do you give Pirtle some time on the bench when he's not going to be able to keep up with that pace all game, every game.
Yeah, so the two things that really were kind of worrying to me coming into this year. The first was obviously the guard line without DeLon Wright, and that seems to be okay. But the other thing was the backup center position, and that is the scary one. You know, Pirtle in his time with Utah isn't accustomed to playing that many minutes per game because of all of his foul situations that he's had, and then having Bacinski behind him. And Jeremy Olsen last year a little bit, you know, it allowed him not play as much, where now he's averaging around, I think, close to 29, 30 minutes a game right now. And that's something that's new to him. And at one point it's going to affect him. Right now, early in the season, he's got fresh legs and he's okay. But the backup position at the center is really the main concern for me for this team. And I don't know, like you said, how much can he handle the fast pace? So far, it doesn't look like it hurts him. He seems to have a lot more speed than he did last year, and he's quicker with his decisions. But the wear and tear does scare me, because we saw last year as players played more minutes with Jordan Loveridge and DeLon Wright, towards the end of the season, they became less effective. But in the early going, we're fine, but it will take its toll come tournament time.
Yeah, it's kind of this drawback. I think this team's strength is to run, but, you know, for Pirtle, I mean, that's going to wear him out, averaging 30-plus minutes. But then again, if he can prove it doesn't wear him out, he'll fit into the NBA and the small ball era that's starting now. He'll fit in there pretty well, probably increase his draft stock.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was looking at the minutes. It looks like, as of right now, based on rotations, you can tell me if you agree, is that Coach Krzyzkowiak's planning on using Chris Reyes as his backup, but he's only averaging about 7 minutes a game. Do you think Reyes can handle that backup role? How do you think he'll fit there?
Well, so when I talked to Tommy Connor earlier in the season, he made it sound like when Pirtle wasn't in, they were going to share where the four and the five are interchangeable. They were going to have Chris Reyes and Kyle Kuzma and Burkott Chapman. They were all going to rotate that position. And the plan was they knew they were going to take a hit defensively with that lineup, but he was hoping that they'd be able to outrun a lot of the competition and really force things offensively that would make it where they had the advantage in the mismatch. There just hasn't been good production out of that backup spot. With Reyes dealing with his back pain, you know, he's not really serviceable in there right now. And Chapman's kind of going through a little slump right now. So I don't know. Kyle Kuzma's been he's been pretty solid so far in the early going, but that's just it's hard to say with the backup center position. I don't think Chris Ray is serviceable as much as they'd like, and I don't know if it's a health thing. He's always struggled finishing around the rim. I don't think there's any player on the team that's missed more layups than Chris Ray is, and he struggles at the foul line. But he is a big body, and when he's feeling not a tall body, but a strong body down there, when he's not having pain, he can fill in those 8 minutes and be productive. But we haven't seen that so far this year, and we haven't had Brakot Chapman be able to help him out there either. So it's right now it's just the two-man show where Kuzma is going to have to be the other guy who is a presence in the paint when Poeltl's not on the court. And so far he's been okay. He's had one game where he didn't really show up, a couple games where he wasn't the best, but he's really improved his game this year. So as of now, it looks like that's where they're going to have to rely on is with Kyle Kuzma. So.
Yeah, I mean, I elaborate on that a little more. I mean, Kuzma was almost completely non-existent last season, and then coming into this season, I mean, he's had some really good scoring games, some really good games, and then also, I mean, you mentioned that he's disappeared for a game or two. What can you tell us about Kyle Kuzma, and maybe what are your expectations for the rest of the season with this up-and-down season he's had up to this point, 6 games in?
That's a great question. With Kuzma, what I notice is, you know, he grew up and developed his basketball talent more on the perimeter. And then right before he joined Utah, he had a huge growth spurt, which forces him more off the perimeter and puts him in the post. And I think he's still transitioning to that. Last year you saw he came off the bench and he immediately wanted to shoot three-pointers. And that, you know, sometimes he was hot, other times he wasn't. This year, in the games that he's been, you know, the great performances we've seen out of him, what he does is he starts off in the paint. If he gets his first 3 or 4 shots of the game inside the paint, then he usually has a good game. It's when he, in the early goings, if he catches the ball, even if it's just 15, 18 feet out, if he starts with a couple jump shots, it seems like it takes him a lot longer to get into the game. And I think that's because that's not his, I mean, it's easy to guard someone who's just going to shoot. You might not have the longest arms to get in his face, but it's easy to defend that person. But with his size and his speed, he's a nightmare to guard down in the post. And so I think for him, when he focuses more, it's a matter of him accepting the fact that, okay, I'm pushing 6'10", it's time to work on being a post player. And when he focuses on the post, I feel then, you know, when he steps out and shoots a three, it comes a lot better for him because he feels better about his shot and he's more confident. So I expect Kuzma he was the guy that I expected the most growth out of. Coach Slocum told me that last year, you know, when I was talking to Coach Slocum, he told me, I asked him about Poeltl, you know, is he going to be a one and done guy? And he says the player that has the most talent that could really make it into the NBA early would be Kyle Kuzma. The only problem is he doesn't have it mentally yet. So he's had the whole year to develop mentally. And I feel like we're starting to see that as the understanding of the game is coming to him, that his talent's really starting to come out. So I expect him to make small growth throughout the season. I don't know if he'll hit a slump, but I really like what he's doing, and I think the coaches are going to now have to demand more from him in the paint, and so he won't be floating around as much on the perimeter where he can fall into those easy shots that kind of throws him off of his game.
Yeah, no, I mean, right now this team needs him on the paint, and I've seen the reports that he's bulked up, so we definitely need that size. excuse me. You know, another something you said is, you know, it's important for Kuzma to start in the paint so he can, I mean, like any shooter, it's important to see your shots going in no matter where the distance. This season, there's been a couple players that haven't been hitting the shots at a normal rate, which, you know, the first one that pops to my mind is Brandon Taylor. I mean, is this just, you know, it's a slump and he's going to bust out of it and he'll be right back to the Brandon Taylor of last season?
Yeah, I would trust Taylor is going to bounce back because ever since he was a freshman, we've seen him we've seen him perform against Pac-12 talent. He's always been able to do it. We've seen him have, you know, highs and lows throughout the season where he'll go, you know, three games where he's not scoring, but then the next three games he's going to be your leading scorer. The fact that I've seen him do it makes me feel comfortable that he's gonna be able to regain that, and because I've seen it so much from him, and that he's been the big shot guy for the majority of his career at Utah. So I don't doubt that Brandon Taylor will come back. I think, you know, it's a lot different for Brandon Taylor this year, where last year all the focus was on DeLon Wright, and that really made it a lot easier for Brandon Taylor to slide over behind the defense, you know, and they forget about him, and he can just be, you know, at the elbow and catch a pass and shoot really quick before the defense can respond, because they're focusing solely on DeLon Wright around the perimeter, where this year there isn't that guy that demands all the respect of the defense, so that they're more able to focus more pressure, or, you know, spread out their defense around the perimeter, which has made it tougher for Brandon Taylor. He's going to have to figure out how to get open, how to create space off the dribble. But more so than that, we need a secondary player on the perimeter or just in any guard position to demand that attention. And I think that Bonham can Lorenzo Bonham can develop into that guy over time. But right now it's easy for them to just focus on Brandon Taylor, making it harder for him to get open and get those shots, because he's more having to guide and direct the entire offense. And so he's got more on his plate than he's had in the past. But he's a smart guy. He works his butt off. I think he'll make the adjustments that he has to.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Bonham. Looking at where he's at today and where he could be at, you know, starting the Pac-12 season and by the end of the season, where do you see that? Do you think by the end of the season, teams are really going to be keen on Bonham to help free up some of the other offensive players like Loveridge and Brandon Taylor?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, we're reaching, trying to figure out who Bonham is. I mean, he's definitely athletic. We have the thing with any JC guys, you have to see how he performs against tough competition before you can get a real feel on who he is as a player. And I just don't feel like we've seen him play against top competition enough to know what he is. I mean, we've seen him being inconsistent, where sometimes, man, the guy just wants to attack. You know, it feels like, okay, Utah needs points, and he's going to get him. No matter what he has to do, he's going to get him. And we've seen him be that guy. And then at times we've seen him kind of be invisible on the court. So I don't know that at this point, I wouldn't think the teams need to focus their attention on him. I think it would be more of an in-game adjustment where it's like, okay, this guy is starting to bother us. Let's pay more attention to him. But can he be that guy? Yeah, he can. I feel a lot more comfortable talking about him, say, 3 weeks into the past, you know, mid-January, or maybe, you know, after we see Utah play Wichita State and Duke and BYU, that'll give us a better idea. But I just haven't seen enough of him. I mean, it's there, but how he can respond day in and day out against top competition, that I don't know. I hope that he can be that guy, because Utah needs that other guy on the perimeter.
Yeah, I think, you know, something that's interesting to me, you know, watching Coach Kostkowiak, you know, I've really been following the team a lot more closer since, you know, Jordan Loveridge joined the team. And it seems like each year there's a player who starts off the year not playing a ton of time, but then earns a spot into the team and in the rotation and making serious contributions, whether it be just talent or hard work or whatever. But Coach K is going to try and get those players in. I'm wondering who you might think that player is this season.
A guy that comes off and surprises? Is that
what
you're asking?
Yeah, like, who's the surprise this year?
You know, I still think, because we didn't see all that much out of him, Kuzma's going to be the big, whoa, what happened to this guy? Where did he come from? I think that's going to be Kyle Kuzma. As far as that, I mean, we pretty much know. I mean, we know what we have with Loveridge. We know what we have with Brandon Taylor. I don't know that there's a guy that's going to wow us. I mean, we don't know what Bonham's going to bring. We don't know what Beeler's going to bring. But I guess if I had to say someone that we know that will shock us, if healthy, and that's the big thing, if healthy, Kenneth Ogbee could be huge for this team. If healthy. We haven't been able to see him healthy since he's been at Utah. He's just had a few weeks where he hasn't been riddled with injuries. Last year I had DeLon Wright told me last year that Kenneth Ogbee was a better player than him. You know, I'm sure it was that's DeLon being the humble guy that he is, but he said that Kenneth Ogbee could come in and just be the best player on the team. And then he got hurt, I think it was 4 days after DeLon Wright told me that. So, you know, I was hoping to see Kenneth develop into that guy. He missed the first part of the season. He's just barely got he's played a couple minutes here and there. But what he does for the team, I think he is our best perimeter defender because he's got that length and that speed, and I think he just bothers people like crazy, and that's going to be huge when you get into when we play BYU on Wednesday. Like that's going to be huge because we need that length on the perimeter to disrupt those shooters. Kenneth Ogbee's amazing from his three point shooting. On his career he's right around 50%, which is awesome. But then as we've seen when he is healthy, he's really explosive. If he can handle the ball, that seems to be the one thing that really that keeps him down when he's healthy. He has a tendency to lose the handle when he's penetrating, but he can elevate, he can finish at the rim. I think if he can get healthy, then he could probably be that guy that surprises everyone on this year's team.
No, I like that pick. I mean, something that's always impressed me of Ogbee when I've seen highlight reels with him is not only that ability to get to the hoop and finish like you were talking about, but also a knack to hit the right pass too that frees up somebody. So that's something as a basketball fan myself, I'm always looking for is who's the guard who can make a move and get his shot, but is also going to get an even better shot for his teammates.
Right. And Ogbee, he developed his game. I mean, he's a soccer player, and soccer is as a soccer player, you're aware of all other 10 players on the field at the same time. And even when you don't have the ball. And I think that he's been able to carry that over to basketball where even if he's, floating along the baseline, he knows where everybody is and what their next move will be to get to open spots on the court. And he does have great vision.
Yeah, no, I really hope he is healthy. I think a combination of surprises from Ogbee and Kuzma would lead to one hell of a season. I mean, even with the lack of depth down low, I think, Coach Connor might in the end be right if those two can surprise us, like you're saying, and either win turtles off the floor or run some teams. All right, well, there's kind of this game on Wednesday. You've made reference to it about a game against BYU. I'm wondering if we could get some of your thoughts about what you expect to see in that game and maybe a prediction from you.
This early in the season, it's hard to get a read on BYU because they haven't really played anybody. They've had a really simple, easy schedule. And like I said, I'm just shocked by the Long Beach State loss. That's something that I was not expecting. I figured that BYU would be 100% perfect on the season coming into this game. But anyways, as far as what they got, I was talking about, I mean, Nick Emery, he's been taking on more responsibility the last couple games, and I think that's been expected. But he's just that prototypical BYU guy that can, score from all over the court. He's very efficient scoring, and, he's kind of got that Jimmer persona where he'll shoot from anywhere on the court, even if you're not expecting it. But at the same time, I know Dave Rose is hoping to focus more on defense this year, but it's not happening yet. And so, I don't know that Emery has the experience to really handle Utah's perimeter and score against them. So I don't know. I mean, Kafusi's big down low. That could be somewhere where I think if BYU is going to have success against Utah, I don't know that they're going to be able to do it on the guard line because I think we'll be able to stay on their shooters. But he's a guy that could really cause problems for Poeltl down low as far as fouls go, and take him out of the game. If Poeltl gets in trouble with fouls in this game, then it can be an ugly game. But I think that's the only way that BYU can take advantage of Utah. Other than that, I think Utah's got better players at every position, except for that scares me, because Kafusi's been a guy who's been able to go in and bang and cause problems, and being that we don't have a backup, that could cause some problems. I think Utah handles BYU pretty easily. I'd probably imagine it's more of like a 72 to 64 game for Utah is where I'd imagine that game going. But I don't see Utah losing that game unless Poeltl is relegated to the bench.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, the lovely social media site of Twitter, I was talking with a couple of BYU fans, and they're being kind of Debbie Downers on their team, saying that it should be a 33-point spread in favor of Utah at this point. So I'm intrigued to see what we see in that game, because I don't
think I would love to be able to say that. Just Utah, or you know, BYU just hasn't, we haven't seen them play against anyone, and they're just that team that, they can play against, play tough against Gonzaga, 3 days after losing to Portland, because if their perimeter shooters get hot, then it's hard to score enough points to keep up with them. So, yeah, I mean, but I want to go on and say on the record it's going to be a 30-point game. Utah can win by 30 points, but I'd expect to be more close to a 10, 12-point game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Well, coming into the season, the media poll put Utah at, I believe, fourth in the Pac-12. I'm just wondering if you might give us what your ultimate expectations are for this Utah team for the rest of the season and the Pac-12 season.
Well, I think the Pac-12 is a lot more open than everyone thought at the beginning. I mean, we've seen some really dumb losses. Arizona's had bad loss. Cal's had a couple bad losses. I think Utah has good chances. I think it's up there for anyone to grab. Right now, nobody's as good as they were last year, because everyone's got quite a bit of personnel changes that they're trying to get adjusted to. Cal's got the young talent that they're trying to develop, and I just feel that, Utah, it's hard to say. I think Utah they should be higher than fourth. They'll be three or higher. I would like to see them finish probably second under Arizona this year. I feel that Utah has a really strong chance. I mean, there's still so much basketball. No one's really played that great of competition. But I think Utah, if the only thing Utah really needs to improve on is, I feel that they need to really get stronger defensively, because it's always been, they've needed to, you got to slow teams down in the Pac-12. And I still haven't seen enough on defense from this Utah team to know if they can shut teams down. So that'd be my biggest fear. But I think that Utah is for sure a top three team.
Okay. Well, Brett, I appreciate you coming on. I got one more question for you. We call the show the Torn by Sports Lunch Break, so I'm wondering what's your favorite spot to hit up for lunch?
My favorite spot? Well, I eat at the same spot, the same place every single day. So it's where I work. I work at Schmidt's Pastry Cottage, and I eat here every day, and so I don't get out for lunch much. But we have full line of lunch that we have here. But my favorite place to eat, like as far as burgers or something goes, is I always like to eat an Astro Burger. So,
all right,
that's probably my best lunch spot besides here is Astro Burger, because they give you Dr. Pepper with your hamburger instead of Mr. Pibb. So,
well, and we all know Dr. Pepper is better than Mr. Pibb. I mean, that's
right.
A no-brainer.
Yeah, no one can pass that off on you.
Yeah, no one. I would be scared for the person who tried to worry about them. Well, hey, why don't you tell us where you're at as far as Schmidt's Bakery, so if we want to come get some pastries or even come eat some lunch there, we know where to find the place.
I'm based in the South Jordan location, and that one's actually probably the best for lunch, because it's got a cafe where we have anything from a deli sandwich. We got deep dish pizza. We got Philly cheese steak, some hamburgers, just all that stuff. And that's on it's off of 106 South on 11. It's 1133 West in South Jordan. It shares a parking lot with the Magnolia Grove Reception Center. If anyone's aware of where that is. And yeah, hit us up. Got a wide variety of stuff and a lot of Christmas stuff going on right now. A lot of neighbor gifts and all that fun, sweet stuff. So.
All right. Well, I mean, for those who don't know, when you're going west on 106, you're just going up that hill. It's on the south side of 106 when you're going west.
Correct.
That hill. So
that's the place.
I've been there. Used to work over there. Gained a few pounds thanks to the place. So I'm aware. But, well, thanks again, Brett. And we'll talk to you again later in basketball season for sure. We got to talk about these JC transfers once we got
to there'll be a lot more to talk about in a couple – in about a month's time, we'll know a lot more about this version of the running Utes for sure.
Yeah. Well, it was good talking to you, and have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Grant.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.